Hello and welcome to our first episode of the RSBC Unseen podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the coronavirus lockdown and how it affects you and your loved ones. So sit back and relax and enjoy the RSBC Unseen podcast. Hello and welcome to the RSBC Unseen podcast. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Charlotte.
Hello, I'm Charlotte. And we're also joined by Al.
Yo, people, what up?
We've been in lockdown now in the United Kingdom for the last 2 months. And ever since then, a lot of things have turned out, well, not so normal as everybody would expect. But hey-ho, we continue on. So, everyone has a different story to tell. Everyone has suffered or enjoyed different parts of the lockdown. We're going to be taking a short story. We're going to be taking a short trip into each person's stories to have a look to see how it has affected them.
So, ooh, I like trips.
I'm sure you do. So, considering that you first interrupted me, let's ask you, Al, how's lockdown been for you?
So, lockdown has been locked up, I would say. I mean, to be honest, like, I think we've had the advice the other day and things have changed a little bit, but I think the amount of exercise I'm doing hasn't really changed much. I've still been out and about. I've still been able to kind of like go shopping and stuff, like when I need food shops and stuff. And sometimes, I mean, it's cool because we're not really relying on deliveries because we've got walking distance. And a lot of people who have got that and can use a cane and can get places, I think, are going to be struggling a lot less with that. But I think mainly my lockdown has basically consisted of getting involved with a few different charities and doing like different conference calls and things, talking about difficulties and stuff people are facing. So like, and also kind of starting my own little thing where I've got a bunch of people together and doing like social nights and things like that. So I think there's quite a lot going on in terms of that. I think there's a lot you can do virtually, and I think it's all really about being aware of that. But I want to give Charlotte a bit of room to talk. So I think, you know, basically I've been exercising, doing things and doing this and that. So I think I've been able to cope, but
sounds like you've still been active during lockdown and it hasn't really stopped you then. For me, it's a bit of a different story considering I'm still working, but working from home. It's probably one of the most confusing times since I started working. I'm a civil servant and we're a department that had never thought we could work from home. So it's been extremely stressful, but it's actually very good that we have got through it and we are working from home and everyone's settled down now. So I think for me at the start, it was very unsettling and very hard to settle into working at home. But now, as Justin said, we've been in lockdown for 2 months now. I think I'm quite in the swing of it and got the hang of it now. So it's hard. And I've become a line manager not long before lockdown. So that was tricky and definitely a learning curve. But we're getting there. Just like how I've been exercising more than I was before lockdown, actually. I've taken up running again and stuff like that, which I didn't do before. So that's good.
Charlotte, I was just going to quickly ask you, do you think it might be a little bit more difficult to come out of lockdown than it was to go into it, especially for working class people, or shall I say anyone who does work, because we've now got into a routine, even though it was a very reluctant routine, and then it would, even though the government has specifically said that they will be lifting the lockdown in gradual statements.
Sorry, that's my dog.
That's all right. I don't think he agrees with the question.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want me to go back to work.
No, that's the thing with dogs. Like they love you when you're close, and they hate when you run away.
But that will be hard when lockdown finishes. Leaving my dog again. But
like the government.
No, with work, I think it's going to be very hard getting back because I'm in a department of about 80. There's only about 10 people still going into the office on a rota basis, and that's purely so that they can give us work to do because we have paper in the office we need to sort of look at. We've got some people with underlying conditions. We've got people that travel far, like me. I travel North London to South London for work. And I think that's going to be difficult when everything relaxes, is how it's done. We sit very close together. We could, if we all went back now, there is no way we could social distance whatsoever. And I think it's the plans you've got to put in place that's going to make it very odd and even more unsettling when you leave the lockdown, because everyone thinks it will go back to normal and it's going to be a whole new, another normal again, I think.
See, I just think the amount of slowness in the normality that we go back to will also depend on how, like, in terms of how slow it's going to be. People are going to be so, I think social distancing is going to be this is quite a negative thing, but I think it's scary to think that social distancing will be such a normal thing that when you see each other on the street, you're just not going to give each other a hug anymore or shake each other's hands, even when things are okay, because you're going to be so scared. And this is...
But you know what, though? I feel like a lot of people might ignore that particular social distancing rule. I'll give you an example. I was out a couple of days ago when I was just going out to get some essential supplies and things like that. And I saw more cars and more people on the streets. Well, I didn't see them. I heard them. But the thing is the same, sort of. There was a load of people out on the streets. And the amount, they say two meters of social distancing. There was a lot of people who were still standing around in groups that were closer than 2 meters. And I feel like we are such a proud country. We were one of the last countries to go into lockdown 2 months ago. We held out for as long as possible, and yet we're still trying to hold on by a thread. And I feel like one of the major things that I think we're going to struggle with as a nation is the ability to change with the times.
Yeah, definitely. And I've seen that as well. When you go out sometimes, especially being visually impaired, well, you see a group of people and you don't go near them. You can see they're there. So you're not, you know, going close to them, but you don't really know what to do, because I think I've seen some groups of people, and I do agree. I think some are following it, some aren't, but I'm definitely following it. And I mean, I was saying, I've even used my cane, which, if people that know me know, I don't really use the cane. I got it out for the first time in a couple of years just to go to a shop, just so I felt more comfortable knowing people would know and that I would get that distance.
People move out my way when I have a guide dog anyway, so that's not really a problem. But I can imagine in these days, like at the moment, you know, I do have a clear run when I'm walking down the street. So, and also I feel safer knowing that I've got a companion with me that I know they say animals don't catch COVID-19 or something like that, and if they do, it's not contagious to humans or something. I mean, they keep changing the policy day in, day out regarding all that, but anyway. At least I know that I'll be practically safe if I do venture out onto the streets. But the best thing to do is just to stay indoors.
Yeah, I think for anyone to stay in.
It is one of the, I think it is the best thing to stay indoors. But I think when you know, like, when you know you can social distance, give yourself that kind of, it's that balance of kind of giving yourself that chance to mentally cope. So I think if you are able to go out and social distance, by all means do it.
Justin's got his guide dog, and I take my dog out a lot. He's not a guide dog, but he helps me with the whole distancing. But I was gonna say, for you, Al, how have you found it, mate? Especially all three of us having different sight and stuff, have you found it?
And I think this is the thing, this is where it helps that I've learned routes, because I don't need someone to, if I just want to go out on my own, I've got that option. But if I want to go out with someone from home, I can. But if I want to be alone, like I say, I've got that option, because I can, if I just fancy a walk down the canal, I can go on my own. And people, if I've got, you know, if I'm using my cane, which I will be with Bruce, I know, it tends to be that I would quite literally just go places I have routes to, I would use.
Yeah, so you're still going out just in a safe and distant way.
See, it's a bit problematic. Well, not, I wouldn't say problematic, but we people with guide dogs, we still got to follow a sort of like a strict criteria, because not only that, we still got to take our dogs out for free running and things like that. They still need to work, because as everybody knows, more often than not, dogs have the mind of a sort of like of an equivalent to a 3-year-old child. So more often than not, they're going to forget, like, let's say things that happen, you know, 2-3 weeks
and they're
later
always
going to
happen.
Like, well, this is it. It doesn't matter. They don't know that we're on lockdown.
Yeah. No matter how old they get.
Sorry?
no matter how old they get, they will still always have that 3-year-old.
Exactly. They could be 12 years old and yet they still have that sort of mindset. And the thing is, with guide dogs, they've had so much training packed into their first, but like, let's say 2 years of life. And a job as a GDO, guide dog owner, is that you must keep that training up to tip-top condition as best as possible, as you possibly can. Obviously, each handler and dog are going to have their own sort of quirks to their partnership. But, you know, the basics are the same. So not only I've got to, you know, find somehow to free run him, I've also got to take him out like on a daily basis, or at least on every other day basis, to make sure his training's up to scratch. And that means going out on harness and things like that, which at the moment sort of is an equivalent to, let's say, a 15-minute walk into absolutely nowhere, because no shops are open apart from Morrison's or anything like that. And to be honest, I'll do more standing in the queue there than I will ever would do walking. But saying that, sorry, just real quickly, saying that, on the flip side of that, it gets me out the house. Now, considering that I'm one of these people who love getting out of the house, any excuse to get out, this works well for me.
And I guess having the dog means you can go out and do it safely as well, not having to worry about the social distancing and stuff like that. You know that you've got him there.
This is the thing. I think people are going to be, people who love being out and about, whether it's a dog, whether it's a cane, are going to be likely to rely on any mobility aid they've got, because they're going to want to be out.
But I mean, everyone's doing it safely. Like, for me, I don't use a cane. I can't remember the last time I did. But in this situation, I will, for mine and everyone else's health and safety, just to make it that bit easier. But it's the sort of thing that you've got to do. Everything is changing. You've got to adapt to what's happening.
It's really all about adapting and trying to make changes where you can. And that's where I think... it's a bit harder in a supermarket, so you're probably gonna have to shout to the person in front of you, saying, "Look, could you let me know when to move forward? Could you do this? Could you?" There's little things here and there that you can. I just think people can do.
People are being good, because I went to a shop and when I did have a cane, people are still willing to help, as long as they're helping in the right way, then it's fine.
I have heard some sort of really disturbing news about big supermarket companies with using a blind person entrance for the simple fact because they can't see and they don't think they'll be able to handle the sort of social distancing rule. And it is difficult for us as well, because we can't deliver all the food to be delivered. Well, we can, but we'll have to sit there and wait for about 4 weeks. So you've got a choice to choose from. Either try and go to your local shop, which for me is an option, and the guys in my local shop are really, really helpful and all that. You can get all my essentials in there, or spend 150 quid on food, like, so you can sort of bulk, when I won't say bulk buy, but like get enough provisions to last for a good month or so, but having to wait 4 weeks and then up to then live on takeaway, it's not really much of an option, is it?
No, to be honest, I think it is very hard, and I heard a lot of them stories as well. But I think in some situations you've got to stand your ground or go with someone in your household if you can. But I know not everyone has that option, which is hard. But it's interesting you said local shops, because I've spoke to a few visually impaired people and myself. The way we're coping is we're not going to these big supermarkets and queuing. We're going to smaller local shops that we're comfortable with. Yeah. And I've been doing that too. I go to the local shop and I can get all my essentials there. And luckily I've got people in the house that are getting more, like, other stuff that maybe I haven't gone and got. But it's funny, for the essentials, I am going to my local shop.
It's funny we say that. Just a point. The other day I actually found hand sanitizer in Sainsbury's.
Oh my God.
Oh, lucky.
Did you find toilet paper as well?
Oh, no, that's easier to find. I mean, that is easier to find.
That corner shop does that for me.
Can I just say something, though, real quickly? Like, we have no idea how lucky we actually are. Like, I do hear some people complain, oh, this is really difficult and things like that. Yes, it is difficult. We are a nation of moaners. I will tell you that.
I'm not going to lie. Honestly, I've spoken to people in, like, other European countries who are like, who are now cut, because some of them, like places like Italy, like places like Spain, actually, I think it is, have lifted their lock slightly, ever so slightly lifted their lock. And they're now, I know someone who's Spanish, and they were sat saying to me, oh, we're allowed to go out and exercise. And I'm like, well, we've actually been doing that for the past month.
At least we're still allowed at our houses and things like that.
But not, we're still allowed to.
But can I also just say something as well regarding like the whole shopping thing as well? Like, we are in effect, even for visually impaired people, we are still lucky. We've got technology that can help us get from A to B. Ira, yeah, have a look at that. Be My Eyes, also have a look at that. If you can't get assistance in your shop, please consider looking at somebody's different apps on your phone. They're fully accessible, fully workable. If not, then you can, I mean, there are some people out there who can give you sighted assistance further. Like, if nothing else, then you know, you do have websites at home. Amazon Prime, they were, oh, your poor doggy.
Oh, no, he's sitting there crying every now for a stroke. he don't understand this lockdown. He's wondering why I'm here every day.
But
they've got dogs, even, guys. I'm playing. Yeah, go on, Karen.
Even Amazon, like, you know, they're doing their best. I mean, I've ordered a hell of a lot of stuff from Amazon Prime and things like that, and Prime Now and Amazon Essentials, and they're doing their best to make sure they can get to you at least the next day. Yes, you're not going to get your usual luxury items like your 50 boxes of Cokes or your 20 bars of chocolate or your 50 bags of crisps, but you know what? We're in the same situation as just about everybody else. At least we can still get out. At least we can still move. At least we can still do X, Y, and Z. And for us, at least we've still got technology and social media and everything else to sort of keep us going in these trying times.
Can you imagine doing this 50 years ago?
Oh, don't.
I don't think I would have coped.
Try 10 years ago when the only way to get into contact with each other was through a cordless phone that you couldn't even hear. Sorry, cut off, what'd you say?
No, it is so true. But I found as well with visually impaired people, if you can't get a delivery slot and you really can't get out, click and collect is also a bit of an option. Where you don't have to find a delivery slot. I think it's slightly quicker than deliveries. But yeah, instead of having to go around the shop and find your bits, it will be there for you. So I know that's been useful for a lot of people as well.
Oh, because do you kind of put your name in? Like, do you kind of, are you registered? And then what
you basically make an online order like a delivery, but instead of it getting delivered, you'd go and pick it up.
But no, what I mean is, like, how would they know it's those bits that
you'll get something to your phone. Like when you order, you'll get an email or like a text. Yeah. I think you get both actually. And then you'll go into the shop wherever it is and you show it. And yeah, it's like collecting a parcel or something. You go and you just collect all your stuff.
They started doing that a lot in like Morrison's and Asda's and major big supermarkets.
Yeah, they're
as
doing it a lot more in shops they didn't do it before, I think, so to make it sort of a lot easier for people. But if you can't go out and sort of find all the stuff you want, but also don't want to take a delivery slot, it's a good option, I think.
I'll tell you, sorry, slight change of subject. I will tell you something that's sort of really helped me a lot with this lockdown business is the fact that I've had a hell of a lot of music projects sort of just sitting there on my hard drive, half finished and all that. It's given me a chance to actually sit down and actually do some proper work on it because I've actually do music stuff and I'm a musician and I've actually done some work for a few people here and there. I've actually done some work for the RSPC as well, so I've always found that working from home gives you a chance to sort of get certain things that you sort of put on the back burner done. You know, you can sort of put all your attention to it. Al, I remember you saying earlier that you was working on a what was it, a project or something with a couple of people.
Oh no, they're kind of just, they're more social kind of things, but
but it's something, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stuff to do, right?
I think everyone's doing things they wouldn't normally. It's stuff they've put aside or stuff they haven't got time for. Or even talking to people. People are talking about distant friends, distant family, and it seems like a weird time. But, I mean, I've spoke to people I haven't spoke to in a few years, and it's nice. It's not. It's a bit strange, but it's nice how it's all happening now. But it's lovely. But I find that's what's going on. And even now you're saying they're more social, it's still something you wouldn't be normally doing.
I did, in fact, say this on my Twitter the other day. I was like, we're all talking to people we wouldn't normally talk to. And it's like, I wonder what it's going to be like after. Are we going to keep talking to those people we weren't? Are we just going to go back to our old ways when?
I think it's all going to be a bit different. We're going to be more connected in general, I think. Because even like, say, my nan, I think I've never FaceTimed her before. She doesn't understand that, but it's happened and it keeps happening. Yeah. And things like that, I think everyone will be a lot more connected. Even after lockdown, if I wanted to call my nan, I might FaceTime her instead of calling her. And little bits, like my nan's called some family she hasn't spoken to, and I think some of it will definitely carry on, even if it is just a lovely thing that the older generation are using technology a bit more. And I think a lot of them are loving it, being able to see all photos, videos of their family that they don't normally see. They're realising that they can do it.
That is, this is true. Yeah.
Or visually impaired people, even, you know, people that would normally get a lot of help from others if they're on their own. I think some people are maybe finding different ways of doing things, or if they exercise normally and don't want to go out and do it. People are being very creative, and I love it.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's like you have the tools at your disposal and you work with what you've got as well. It's like, it's not like anything's been sort of been taken. The only sort of thing has been taken away from us is the ability to travel freely. Well, you know what? It is what it is. I mean, and I'm speaking for someone who gets cabin fever from staying in the house for like 3 or 4 days in a row, and now I have to do this for months on end. You know, you do have to sort of work with what you got. And at the end of the day, as long as you keep yourself busy, whether that's doing music projects for someone, doing something with social media, even if you're just gaming 24/7 or something like that, or sitting there listening to books or watching films or whatever you're doing, at least you're keeping busy and stuff like that. Oh, I'm playing with your dog as well, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, I was going to say, have you two got a garden? Because that's another topic, isn't it? Gardens or no gardens?
No, we don't.
I'm one of the lucky ones.
I have a little garden, so I get to go out and take my dogs out there a lot throughout the day. But so that's the thing, I'm so grateful I have one. And Justin say no, I mean, that's the other thing. If you don't have a garden, I mean, I do sit out in it a lot, and I can't really think what it would be like if I didn't have the garden there.
See, this is difficult because I spend half my time in London and my other half my time in Leeds, because my fiance is up there and we've got a garden up there. And it's, if I was up there now, because when the lockdown kicked in, then we would have had a garden, but because I'm in London, we sort of don't. But we do have a bit of ground at the back that I can, because what I'm hoping to buy for him, and I would recommend anyone else who's got guide dogs as well, who don't feel confident letting them off on their own, get yourselves a flexi lead. You can buy them cheap from Amazon for about 20-30 quid. I think you can get one that goes up to about 30 meters. I think there's one about 50 meters, but it depends on the quality of the lead. Get a flexi lead, and then you can just sort of like go to some of these little bit of waste grounds that dotted around your area and just let them run around for a bit, and you know, you don't have to worry about where they're going. Because
if I'm honest, guide dog or not, that's exactly what I've been doing with mine as well, because I'll normally let him off and I trust he'll come back, but I don't always see where he's gone, and he loves other dogs and people. So instead, I haven't taken him over the field for a run once, and I feel so bad. So I've got his flexi lead out, and we go down to the end of the road. There's like a leisure centre, but there's a big grass patch. So I do the same. I go to more of a deserted bit of grass, and I'll stand there with the flexi lead. We can have a run.
You can have a run. And I think the thing is as well, like, because I've spoken to a few GDOs as well, and it's difficult when you're trying to free run them in a park, because even without the lockdown, you can't see what they're going to, you know, sniff out, what they're going to eat, if they get into a fight and things like that. So normally when I take Nugget out for a free run, I always have some sort of sighted assistance with me. Not because I can't do it on my own. It's because I want that reassurance to know that he's not going to get himself up to any mischief.
Oh, I do miss Nugget. but no, it's true. You do. It's not that you don't trust your own dog or that he won't come back. You don't know what's going to be on the floor for them to pick up, or, you know, if they do get distracted, or if another dog comes over that isn't as nice as yours. So that's what I always think, because I know I do let my dog off, but sometimes you do think, well, it's not me or him that's the problem. It's all the stuff around us.
I've got to say it though, like, you were right about the connection thing earlier. You know, I do feel like we have become more connected, not just friends, not just family members, but also friends as well. But also just like, you know, in general, people have just started
to, yeah.
Even outside, I know you said not everyone's following social distancing, but I feel like if you do go out for a walk and, you know, you don't have any issues with that, everyone does seem a lot more pleasant. Like, people are standing saying thank you if you wait for them to go past. And I mean, okay, I know it does happen normally, but I don't think it does as much as this. I mean, I've been for walks, and sometimes you feel like, oh, people are being so nice, and they are at a distance, they are being safe, but everyone just seems a lot more together. And you'll walk down the road, and if someone's outside their house, they'll say hello, how are you and stuff. And I feel like it's happening more now than it was before.
What's your experience, Al?
When it comes to sort of smaller supermarkets, I'll go, what I tend to do, and I know this is not the best, but I'll listen out for voices, but I'll go as forward as I can until I hear a, like, do you know what I mean? As forward as I can until I hear a voice saying, wait, hang on, you can't come in yet. Because I've got two situations that I've been in. I've had situations in smaller stores where I'd get assistance, and what they'd do is I'd use my cane in the store. And because there's less people, I'd get the person to shout directions. So turn left after a few more steps, but they'd be standing quite a distance away from me while shouting those directions. And it kind of works, because then I'm not they'll tell me what to touch, so I'm not touching loads and loads of things at once.
Yeah. No, but that's good. I did hear a horror story from someone the other day, actually, that when tried to go to the shop and wanted help like that, and the person come over and tried to like guide them. So that wasn't a good story. But I mean, I did say at the end of the day they were trying to help, but anyone knows right now that's not the way to help.
It depends. Like, I just think it depends on if they're not panicked and I'm not panicked and no one's stopping us, I would probably go. Oh, I shouldn't.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be.
No, at the end of the day,
that's all I'm saying to that one.
Do you know what? At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong about not being a bit polite and be like, excuse me, can you not touch me at the moment, please? Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, people you know and all that, you know, your household, yes. But I mean, if it's someone in a shop, personally, I think that isn't what you should be doing, because that you don't know. If they're that not panicked about it, I think you need to protect yourself there, because if they're in that shop, you do need to make sure you are being careful yourself. But at the same time, I think everyone is willing to help, and the people are being very helpful. It's just you've got to make sure you're getting the help safely.
I don't like being touched in a general basis anyway, really. I'm just one of these people. Like, you come up to me, I don't know you, in the streets, and you grab hold of my arm, and like, come on, let's go. I said, can you not touch me, please? I don't know. I'm just like one of the... I'm not a... it's not one of the... I've got a phobia of strangers or anything like that. It's just that... You just don't like being touched without being asked.
Yeah, it's a whole
other
topic, isn't it? The right way of helping a blind person.
Don't touch.
You don't just grab a blind person, you know, lockdown or not. So, us three alone have gone over this so many times. But, you don't do that either way, really. But to hear that someone done that in lockdown. But I think, like Al said, Al's got the right way. If people are happy to help at a distance, go for it. And say, then I think the best thing to let them know as well. So Al said, can you tell me when to move forwards and stuff? There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Definitely nothing wrong. Especially when you're on your own.
Mm. I walked into my local shop. Now, the guy knows me in there, because I go in there virtually all the time. And we're really, we're like old friends and things like that. But we're really friendly. And so how it works is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, is that you go into the shop, but then you have to go all the way around the back and come out the other side, because basically when we walk in, the counter's on the left hand side, but you can't just go in, so you've got to walk all the way around and then come up the aisle that goes back towards the counter on the other side, if that makes any sense, from the back of the shop, and then you've got a queue there. But obviously the queue's longer because of the 2 meter rule. So I walked in, it's like, mate, if you just go over there for a minute, I'll serve you, you can go straight to the front of the queue. I was like, no, you don't. He's like, no. And he literally just like, because you only had 2 people, 3 people in at a time. So he literally just, he literally just gets me straight into the front, because I normally don't get a lot. I get maybe 2, maybe 3 items. Yeah, mate, can I have that, and that? Thank you very much. He was like, yeah, you okay, mate? And all that. Do you need help with that? I'm fine, thank you. And all that kind of stuff. And I'm out literally in about 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, to be fair, when I have my cane, you can if you need to, and I know that, you know, I didn't want to. You shouldn't skip the queues if you don't need to, but I was thinking, well, for a blind person, actually, it's hard to queue. So if they do ask you if you'd like to go to the front, I actually don't see nothing wrong with that, because you're actually being safer for others doing that than trying to queue at a safe distance.
And the difference is, you're not pushing in. They're offering you, like, to get you in and out. And to be fair, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it in a sense that they're worried that they don't want anyone to catch coronavirus on their premises. Yeah,
well, I don't think people agree. People sort of tut a bit at it and stuff like that, but I don't think they understand the reason. They think it's just, you know, well, they can walk, it's fine. Why are they getting let in just because they can't see? But they don't realise it's for their benefit and ours to be able to stay safe in that queue. But it's all things shops are doing, actually. I find that the public might not agree with that, but a lot of shops are doing that, you know, the local shops and the supermarkets. I don't know how many of them, but I know some are.
I just think, and so, some members are, I think you have less problems in smaller stores. I from experience, I seem to have less problems in, you know, the smaller stores. In terms of finding things,
I think people don't realise as well how like nice shop owners are, because you go in Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Morrison's, there's so many people working there. Like Justin said, he knows the guy. I think most visually impaired people know the owner of their most local shop, the smaller ones. Because you do, you get to know them. You go in there, they probably remember you more. And then you visually impaired people use a shop regularly if they're comfortable with it.
And all I'll say is a nice word can go so far.
When it comes to... I think my local shops, the corner shops, they definitely know me. Like the news agents and stuff, they definitely
know me. I mean, they might not know you by name or to properly chat, but they always know who you are, don't they?
Yeah, they'll always know. Yeah, they're roughly going to know who you are.
I think we just about covered everything near enough, haven't we?
I think we have.
So the general consensus is, even though we are in lockdown, and even though that it looks pretty grim at the moment, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The government is slowly starting to lift lockdown procedures, and also we're not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world because we still have ways and means.
Do you know what I like as well? We just had all them conversations, and it was positive conversations. There wasn't like we've all actually found lockdown quite positive and been doing things.
Yeah, we need to realise as well that. You know, it's all, you know, the best case scenario, it's all going to take time. And I mean, best case scenario, it's all going to take time and be lifted slowly. But I just think we don't know what's going to happen when. So I think really, truly, the take home message is let's take things in our stride and
And stay.
Do you know what? We are adapting. Although we're saying not everyone is listening, I think, in actual fact, I have been shocked at how much we have adapted and coped, to be honest, in general.
Yeah.
And you know, we might complain and we might moan about it, but at the end of the day, we're doing it. And I suppose that's what matters in the end. And I always say this to anyone who asks me, what do you think? Stay positive. Do your best to try and stay positive. Might not look like it at some times where, you know, the government ain't doing anything, or, you know, we're not doing anything, or, you know, nothing's getting done, but stuff is getting done.
Yeah, and I think you've got to take it into your own hands sometimes as well. Sometimes
you got to decide, what have I got? Like, can't go out and do that, but what have I got and make it at home?
That's what I always say. Turn a can into can. If you can't do that, what can you do instead?
If I can't get a brownie from the dirt parlour, why don't I make my own? In fact, I did that.
Well done.
Go and buy a load of, if you can't buy, let's say, ready meal, do your favourite ready meals, go and buy the ingredients and make it. It'll probably take you a couple of extra hours, but hey, certainly fills up your day, doesn't it?
It'll probably taste better.
Just take your time. I know people don't always I've cooked a lot of new stuff.
I love cooking.
It just takes more time. Just take your time and go through it. I think all of us can do it in the end.
I mean, the best thing about it is, if you know what you're doing, it's probably going to taste, 10 times better than your ready meal.
Exactly.
I mean, one of my favourite dishes that I like to cook, and I'm sort of like thinking about this, is a seafood pasta and a white wine garlic sauce. Ooh. Now, I remember when I first started this, it came out like dog food. But now, but that was about 2 years ago. And
did you feed it to Nugget?
No. Yeah, I'll tell you a funny
story. Even he wouldn't eat it.
Came out like dog food. Was the pasta undercooked?
No, do you know what? The pasta was okay. I think the problem was just the way, because I made the sauce from scratch. I didn't get it from anywhere. I literally made it from scratch. Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. I know it's not, completely direct to lockdown, but I think it might give you guys a bit of a laugh. So I was actually making the sauce. I put the bottle of wine away because I didn't think I would need it anymore. So I did need some more, because obviously when you boil wine, the alcohol burns off and obviously the liquid sort of like evaporates a little bit. Anyway, so I've gone back into the fridge to go and get a bottle out, gone to pour it in. It's only chocolate Baileys, isn't it? It's not wine. I thought, you're joking.
Oh, no, that is hilarious.
You are joking. I tried to siphon off as much as possible.
Did the bottles feel the same?
It felt exactly the same. I didn't. It's only because Leanne told me, she's like, babe, you do realise that's chocolate Baileys. I said, oh, you're joking.
So it wasn't pasta in a white wine sauce. It was pasta in a Baileys chocolate sauce.
Yeah, something like that. And I didn't realise until.
The first time round, was it also not white? So was it only the second round you used chocolate Baileys, or was it the first time you?
No, the second time. The first time I did have, there was wine already in there.
It was genuinely, okay.
So this is the problem. Like the sauce was half finished. And as soon as I put the chocolate Baileys in, I thought, oh, you are joking. Because you've got to let it stew for about an hour before you can start putting anything in it. Because you've got to let it all.
How did you realize How did she realise it was chocolate baileys if she couldn't see either?
She could see a little bit, but also I could smell it as well. I was like, this smells, this doesn't smell right.
This don't smell like wine.
It smells a bit chocolatey towards me, wine. What the hell is this? It's like, babe, you do have, I thought you were chocolate.
Oh God, good job you didn't feed it to nugget then, really, chocolate.
Oh, don't. Or Baileys. Can you imagine giving a spoonful of Baileys to a dog?
Oh, don't.
Do not try this at home. We wouldn't recommend it as to professed dog lovers.
Well, at Christmas, I went to a shop and they were doing dog cocktails, so my dog did have a porn star martini.
Enjoy
he still got Brussels sprouts from Christmas he's eating at the minute.
I love it when you give a dog a carrot.
Yeah, no, that is, I've been giving my dog some carrot. My dog doesn't eat them, though. He just plays with it. He thinks it's like a toy or something.
Oh, Nugget's a greedy one. He just sits there, gone. Literally. Just like, oh.
What about your dog?
Oh, yeah, my dog doesn't really like carrots. I give it porn star martinis.
Just a quick message for any pet owners as well. This ain't just for guide dog owners. So anyone who does need to go to the vets and for any sort of important medication for their animal, please note.
Wait, I don't have a dog, so you can't come to me for that.
Oh, for sake. Please note that your vets are open. And if you're not, you can go to one of the bigger vets, which is further in town, depending on where you are living. There are emergency hospitals for veterinaries that are still open. What they will do is that they will take the animal inside and you would have to wait outside until the treatment or the medication has been given.
Yeah, I had to do that. It wasn't very nice, but that's my dog got treated. I was like, where are you taking my dog? But do you know what? He got sorted. He got dealt with. They were doing the right thing. And he come back out fine. So, yeah. No, but I can say, as well, my dog had to go to the vet, unfortunately. But we our vets is in Pets at Home and they were still open and they take the dog in, like you said. So
that's all we've got time for. This is our lockdown. If you like our podcast, please give us ideas for extra more topics and stuff that you'd like us to talk about, and we will do our best to accommodate. Thank you for listening to us. This is Bye from Al, Justin.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next time on the RSPC Unseen Podcast.
Yeah.